sweet refreshment in the heat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. These words, dear faithful, are from the sequence of the Mass of Pentecost of the Holy Ghost and not of tonight's High Mass of the Blessed Sacrament. But they seem appropriate because the weather has turned so warm and our air conditioning system comes off and on at odd times, and it ends up being quite warm by the end of the day here in church. And so we all have heat one way or another on our mind. I thought before Holy Mass begins tonight, I would say a word to you about two of the wonderful saints whom we honor on the 16th of June, and their feast then falls on this Friday of the octave of Corpus Christi. And they're both saints whose life demonstrates a contrast between heat and cold. St. John Francis Regis was one of the great first or second generation Jesuit missionaries, and he worked in his own native Languedoc in the south of France, the conversion of sinners and of heretics. And for years, he preached missions to convert people and bring them back during the terrible era after the Protestant revolt to decent Christian living. He would, during the summer months, preach in the towns and the cities. And during the winter, when the people in the mountains weren't able to stray very far from their own homes because of the snow and the ice, why then he would preach in the mountain hamlets. And at the same time, as he preached so beautifully, he also, like St. Basil before me, at St. Basil this week, he was a great organizer, and he organized for entire cities wonderful services of Christian charity, because that too is the part of the Christian life which may all too easily be forgotten. I mean the care of the poor and the sick and the needy and the rest. He met his death on a very cold winter at Christmas time. He was going to some little mountain hamlet where he would hear confessions and preach a sermon, and even though he was half dead with pneumonia because of being exposed to the elements, nevertheless, as soon as he got to that town, he insisted on being taken straight to the confessional. And there, he heard confessions for about 6 hours straight, and then was taken to the rectory. But by then, he was indeed frozen and very, very sick. And a few days later, he died, truly a martyr to holy charity and a wonderful example of a priest who was on fire with the love of God. You could feel the warmth that he generated when he preached, but they say especially when he offered Mass, you could feel a warmth there, a bit like St. Philip Neri. The saints are like that, on fire with God's love. John Francis Regis, he was a favorite saint of the Curia of Ours. Remember, the Curia of Ours was in desperation to become a priest because of his studies. It wasn't going to happen. And he made on foot a very difficult and penitential pilgrimage to the shrine of St. John Francis Regis. And there he confided his intentions to him. And from that point on, although he was not without difficulties, his path was clear to the altar. And the altar, of course, is the source of all of our warmth and all of our strength. Now, the other saint is an interesting Cistercian nun, and her name is Saint Lutgardis, or Saint Lutgard, and she was from Flemish-speaking, what is today, Belgium. And she lived in the 13th century, and her father had her marked for marriage, but he had some reversal. I think one of his ships went down, and he couldn't afford the dowry for the young man that he had selected for his daughter, and as a result, she had to take second best, and so he put her into the convent, which is not a very good way to deal with financial reversals, obviously. She wasn't very interested in being there, and I don't think the nuns were particularly fervent, and they didn't mind if she came and went. She was sort of a boarder more than a postulant even for the convent. And she got visiting with young men in the parlor, and one of them took a shine to her. And it was just at that point, imagine how cold she was in the love of Jesus Christ and how unworthy in her life. It was just at that young point, this teenage girl is entertaining, in effect, a suitor in the convent parlor when our Lord appears to her with his five wounds, flaming red, blood coming out. And he stands right in front of Lutgard and he says, pointing to the would-be boyfriend, "Pay no attention to him. Love me," he cries out. And she does. Of course, the suitor doesn't see our Lord or hear him, but she stands up and quoting the words of I think it was St. Lucy, one of the virgin martyrs of wintertime, she says, "Depart from me, you food of death." And she walked out, and she was converted. From then, she led a most extraordinary life as a mystic and as a penitent praying for the needs of the world and the church. She was a Benedictine, professed her vows as a Benedictine nun. Our Lord came to her once, and like Catherine of Siena, she was privileged to actually drink our Lord's precious blood from his pierced side in a beautiful mystical experience. And then her story is almost a little bit like a fairy tale. That is to say that she was given three wishes, and she had two or three different seven-year periods of doing terrible fasting and penance. One of them that I remember was for the Emperor, Frederick II, who was causing great damage to the world as well as to the church. Back then they were the same thing, Christendom. Well, the first gift that she received from God or wish was that of being able to heal the sick. And she did heal the sick, but then because there were so many sick that came to her to be healed, and sometimes were very little affairs they could really have managed on their own, she thought, she asked our Lord to take it away because she wanted to be able to pray. So our Lord took it away, and she was asked what she would like instead, and she said the knowledge of Latin. She was uneducated, and though she spent many hours in the divine office, she didn't have too firm an idea of what it all meant, and she wanted to know what the Psalms meant and the sermons of the fathers and the hymns and all of the rest of the sacred liturgy. And so our Lord gave her that, but then she soon found that it just wasn't right. She couldn't pray anymore now internally. There were too many words, too many thoughts, too many beautiful ideas dancing around in her head, and she couldn't just concentrate on our Lord. And so, like a woman, a second time, she changes her mind. And this time, our Lord, who has a very familiar way, in his treatment of St. Lutgard, our Lord is one of the, you might say, friendliest and the most familiar of saviors that you ever saw. It's usually an aspect of Jesus Christ that you don't generally see in the lives of the saints, like with St. Margaret Mary. He was terrible with her. But with St. Lutgard, he was always sort of playful almost. And so he says to her, "Well, Lutgard," he says, "what would you like?" And St. Lutgard says to him, "Lord, well, what I really want is your heart. Give me your heart." And then there was a mystical exchange of hearts, the same as was given to St. Gertrude, the great, our St. Gertrude. At some point, she was elected abbess because of her immense sanctity and her mystical experiences. But then once again, the cares of the material running of the abbey, the convent, got in the way of her ability to pray. And she asked to be transferred to the stricter Cistercian order, leaving the Benedictines behind, and it was given to her. And she transferred herself, she was given permission to go to a French convent, and she only spoke Flemish, so she didn't understand what the French were going on about, which was maybe just as well. And she could just totally concentrate on our Lord, just prayer. It must have been a difficult situation many times, but never mind. That was the life that she chose. And then during that period of time, she would go through these 7 years of fasting and penance for the great needs of the church and the state in her day. Back then, the Cistercians had the privilege, which was unusual even in the 13th century, of going to Holy Communion every Sunday and feast day. Because within a few centuries, Holy Communion became just a few times a year, even for nuns. And everybody else, though, didn't go out of that false sense of unworthiness, you know, that keeps people back when they could go, but they don't. But she wanted to go, and she went. And it was sometimes difficult because the nuns' choir was here, and then the altar was pretty far up in the church, and at that time you walked up to the altar to make your communion, and she had to walk up by herself, and all the other nuns stayed behind. You know, human respect is, especially for women, must have been a difficult thing. But she did. She wasn't going to forego her Holy Communion. It became even more difficult for her when she went blind. The last number of years of her life, she was blind. There she is, this old blind woman, feeling her way up to the sanctuary, to the altar, to make her Holy Communion and to receive our Lord each Sunday and feast day. She's really a beautiful Eucharistic saint. And she shows us, as they say, on the other side of Christ. To know the saints is to know Christ. But these days, we go directly to our Lord, praying as we may in the beautiful adoration of these masses before the Blessed Sacrament exposed. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.